Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, October 16th, 2017. We have about 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming southwest 10 to 15 in the afternoon. And wind waves from the northwest will be 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, shifting around to the southwest at 4 feet at 4 seconds in the afternoon, and northwest swells will be about 7 feet high at 11 seconds apart. And you can see by the change in the wind direction today, we've got a weather system moving in, and that is bringing us the rain that we're having and are going to be having, it seems, at least for the first part of the week. And today we're going to be talking about kind of an obvious but important and sometimes overlooked aspect of boating and ship handling, and that is water depth. You got to have enough water to stay afloat, and we'll talk about why. I mean, it's obvious why it can be a problem, but there are other things associated with that, too. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that because we do have a big tidal fluctuation here in the Astoria area that you can see from land very easily, even if you're not out on a boat. So we'll talk a little more about that. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders, and we have a total of 10 anchored ships. 3 of them are at the island right up off of Tongue Point, there where there is an anchorage there, the Rice Island anchorage. And our outbounders, we have 2 heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the CSL Frontier. She belongs to Canadian Shipping Lines, and she's headed for, arriving from Mexico, she's headed for the U.S. gypsum plant in Rainier on the south side of the river in the Longview area there. So she'll be passing Astoria about 9:30 a.m. You might see her there maybe about noon or 1 in the area of right there where the U.S. gypsum plant is. So if you're the U.S. gypsum plant, if you go into Longview, say on the Columbia River side, and you turn on the Lewis and Clark Bridge and go across the river to Longview, if you look to your left on the Oregon side of the river, there it is, the U.S. gypsum plant. It's really the only big industrial facility there, and there's a big conveyor belt going out to a small dock on the water. And that is where the CSL Frontier is going. And the reason why I know so much about this is that this company's ship, the CSL Acadian, I was very fortunate to go on a 10-day trip at sea in 2010 aboard that ship, and it was truly one of the most fun and interesting things I have ever done. But I watched them load gypsum. So the ship comes from gypsum mines in Mexico, fills up with this white powdery, crumbly mineral substance called gypsum, and they bring it up. It's loaded in a special ship that has the capacity to unload itself with a big conveyor that's built into the ship. And so it's very interesting. The whole thing was just fascinating. The ship left from, I was on the ship, I got on the ship in Rainier, went out the Columbia River, up to Puget Sound, into Tacoma, and then up into a Canadian port, and then down to San Francisco. And boy, what a very interesting trip, and very, very kind people on board that vessel. And all Russian and Ukrainian crew on board that ship. So at any rate, these ships come in, they're one of the few vessels that come in fully loaded. They come in loaded with cargo. Most of our vessels come in light. And so she will be passing by this morning, and you may see her on the river. The Pan Stellar is our other arrival today, arriving from China, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She will arrive around maybe 2:30 in the Astoria Anchorage and drop her anchor there. She will join these 10 other ships. There's a lot of opportunities to shipwatch off the downtown waterfront right now. First of all, we have the Alpha Bulker at the Port of Astoria loading logs. You can see her at Pier 1. The Castro, the Baltia, the Midland Sky, the FEN, the Sirius Sky, and the Pabal are all awaiting orders in the anchorage off the downtown waterfront. And at the Rice Island Anchorage, we have the Great Triumph, the Boga Inda, and the Navios Felicity. Those vessels are awaiting orders at Rice Island. And in our outbounders, the Desert Challenger is leaving Portland with soda ash on board, leaving around 12:30 p.m. She should pass Astoria outbound maybe around 6:30 p.m. And the Sage Caledonia is leaving Portland. I believe she brought in cement. I'm not sure what's on board there. Going out, perhaps ballast water. So maybe leaving there around 5:30, that would put her past Astoria outbound around 11:30 p.m. Well, I really love to talk about local things with you, about things you can see out the window if you're on land or if you're on a vessel, things you can notice about our surroundings, our maritime surroundings. And I was on the Megler Bridge this week. I didn't go on the bridge walk, but I did drive across it this weekend. And I was looking at the flats, the mud flats during low tide, and how visible they are and how invisible they are when they're covered with water, but not very much water. So I want to talk a little bit with you about the somewhat perhaps mysterious seeming to people who are not on the water concept of water depth. So when you go out in a boat, and it's, say you go out at high tide, it just all looks like water, and you can't tell how deep it is. If you're a passenger on a vessel, you are really relying on the people on board who are running it to know what to do. So you need to know how much water there is under your boat at all times. It's a very important thing. So that's one of those, you know, the two very important things, most important things, is not to hit anything or anyone and not to run aground. So on our river here, there's a pretty big tidal span. Between low and high tide, there can be between 7 and 12 feet, depending on what sort of tidal conditions are happening. That means that when the tide is low, especially if we have what they call a minus tide, where it's below the predicted low, on the tidal charts, when it says low tide, it's really referencing something called mean lower low water, which is the average of all the lowest tides over a period of about 17 years. So, you know, you're looking at an average. So you have to be savvy about the fact that the water underneath your boat, you need to know the river. You can know that by looking at a chart. But you really need to be paying attention to that with something called perhaps a depth sounder or a chart plotter on your boat. These are pieces of equipment that can tell you how much water there is under the keel. Now, you can see the problem with not having water under the keel when the tidal flats come out, because those areas don't have a whole lot of water over them anyway, even when the tide is high. But when the tide is low, I've seen vessels out there stranded, sailboats lying on their sides because they didn't really get the fact that the tide was going to fall. And when they get stuck, the water keeps falling, and then they end up over on their sides and in a bit of trouble. Now, as far as ships were never designed really to sit on their keels. They have to be very carefully supported when they go into a shipyard, but a ship was not designed to plunk down on the bottom of the riverbed. And so whenever a ship does run aground, the Coast Guard has to come in and inspect it for damage. So all the vessels that are in the river, the big ships, are certainly watching their depth constantly, and they're very agile about that and very, well, I can't really be agile in a ship, but they're very vigilant about that. That's a better word. But in small recreational boats or small fishing boats, you can see some of the problems with, say, the tide rising quickly in a heavy current like we have here. There was a case a few years ago where a small fishing boat was anchored fishing in the waters off Astoria here, and as the tide came up, they really weren't quite paying attention to the fact that the water was rising. They couldn't get the anchor up out of the bottom, and the boat was flipped by the rising water, and the people drowned. So paying attention to things like this, it's more than just running aground. We live in a very dynamic river environment here, and it's very important to be knowledgeable, to pay attention, and to know what you're doing when you're out there, even when it looks calm. Because it really isn't calm. It's really, there's a lot going on out there, even on a calm day. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.